The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Shadate Hargett Hill from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections. Every month, we'll introduce you to people in the community that are making a difference. We'll also take time out to spotlight one of our volunteers of TRRS.
Community Connections is underwritten by RBR Physical Therapy,
located at 1300 Corporation Parkway, Suite B, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Call 919-917-7729 for an appointment.
For more information, go to www.rbrpt.com.
Our guest today is a very lovely lady. Her name is Martha Grove Hipskind. She's the coordinator of Wake County Community Resource Connections for Aging and Disabilities of Wake. CRC is a short name for it. Martha Grove, thank you for being here today.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
We have a lot of wonderful things to talk about. How did you become the coordinator for Wake CRC?
Well, I have a long background in the area as an elder care consultant. Many of the partner agencies to the CRC are people I've worked with over the years and know well, and we are connected to the Triangle J Area Agency on Aging, where I've worked as part of that team off and on, probably since 2006 or 7. So long history, but my first year of being coordinator of the Wake CRC.
Okay, and how challenging is that for you?
It could be challenging because we cover quite a scope of services, but we have a terrific leadership team that helps guide all of the decisions we make on what we will do as an organization. And then, of course, our partner agencies are just terrific, and I rely on them to really work with people who need assistance and guide me in where to go.
So what is your mission?
Well, our mission is to provide aging adults and individuals with disabilities information about available services and supports, and to streamline the access to services regardless of how they touch the system. So wherever they come in and wherever they first connect, that we want to see they get where they need to go, and we make it easy for them to gather information and sort of make that step to the other agencies without picking up that phone and over and over telling their story.
Yes. I know with this agency, there's a lot of things that happen throughout it. Can you explain exactly what you guys do?
Yeah, it's sort of a multi-layer, but to start, we use what's called a no-wrong-door approach. Probably everyone listening knows that the system of services and supports, finding things that might help you live more independently, it can be a little hard to figure out sometimes. We have a kind of fragmented system where it doesn't all just fit together in one easy piece. So contacting our group, it's meant to be a network of agencies that, so that no-wrong-door approach means wherever you first make contact, we're going to make sure you get where you need to go, and you don't have to keep picking up the phone and saying, I live here and I want this or that service or advice or resources. So that makes a big difference for folks. We work with people who are in need of long-term supports and services for anything related to aging process itself or living with disabilities.
Your agency is a one-stop. They can come there to get everything that they need.
Well, yes, it's a work in progress.
Okay.
I would love to say everything. In other words, there are probably partner agencies that we would like to have that we don't yet, but within the network, and always they don't have to just work with our partner agencies. Part of our expertise is knowing even services and resources beyond. But this is not just local, meaning it is part of a national trend to this no-wrong-door approach that does say, in its most evolved state, you're exactly right, it would be a one stop absolutely everything. A great example is someone coming out of the hospital that's had maybe changes as a result of being in need, some new support, maybe someone to come by the house, needs someone to kind of manage their care. One stop should do it all for someone like that. And we're getting closer, so it's very exciting.
Good. Well, I can imagine with having the services, it has made it a little bit easier for caretakers to go to the resources that they need because they can come to you for that.
The caretakers makers and the individuals themselves. Mm-hmm. There's also, in addition to services, the first step, another aspect of what we do is providing information to help people make their own informed decisions. So mm-hmm. it may be the caregiver, but we often work directly with the individuals. Okay. And, you know, knowledge is power. And yes. so behind this no wrong door approach, you'll see that it's what we call person-centered planning. And we really want the individual to be at the center and to have as much information as possible. And sometimes with the assistance of caregivers, of course, in certain circumstances, but make their own best decisions. Mm-hmm. We don't truly live their lives or know, but we're mm-hmm. there to provide easier access to information and services so they can put it together and make a plan that works for them.
Okay, that's very good. And the percentage-wise of the people you help, do you find that it's more of the aging and disabled coming to find out information, or is it the caretaker? Is it more, or is it 50-50 as far as
I don't know that it's 50-50, but I'd say it's a mix. I think okay. that's a great question, and okay. I think that's always true. There are agencies such as our Partner Resources for Seniors, which mm-hmm. takes calls all day long with trained folks who will screen and see what people need. And I think they would say probably, too, that there's probably about an equal mix of individuals and then caregivers. If somebody has, for instance, cognitive impairment and isn't able to make that phone call themselves, then mm-hmm. of course you're going to have whoever's providing the care yeah. wanting to know how best to care for both of them,
absolutely.
We hope.
Now, you were speaking about your partners. Tell me more about the CRC partners that you have.
I will. We are a network of agencies, local, nonprofit, community agencies that come together to create this no wrong door approach and to support one another and the community in what we offer. So our partners include, I could read the whole list, mm-hmm. but I think I've got a little summary yeah. in my mind okay. of what we provide, which would maybe help to start.
Yes.
So our partners provide various things such as information, resources, counseling, specialized training, volunteer services, meals, transportation, Medicaid and food assistance programs, adult daycare, respite, palliative care, and hospice care. It gives you kind of a range. And so just it's not a 30-person list, so I'll maybe run through the Alliance of Disability Advocates, First in Families, Meals on Wheels of Wake County, the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, and there's a program called Independent Living that works as one of our partners, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, of Wake County, Resources for Seniors, the PACE program, or Senior Community Care of North Carolina, Southeastern Healthcare, the Arc of the Triangle, the Center for Volunteer Caregiving, Transitions Life Care, our Triangle J Area Agency on Aging, Triangle Radio Reading Service, and Wake County Human Services. So that's our list of partner agencies.
You have some great agencies there. Not being biased because we're one of them.
But be proud.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So with these partnerships, you said that you have a whole list and you just named a few of them. How do you guys get together?
Great question. All of those agencies I just named are part of our CRC advisory committee.
Okay.
And we meet 6 times a year, roughly every other month. We come together to do a number of things. We exchange resources on an ongoing basis so that we're always learning of new programs, new opportunities, or maybe talking about gaps in services. And then we typically invite someone to come in and do an in-depth presentation, maybe from an interesting service or something that would be helpful to all of us, maybe a training program that's unique. We provide programming that tends to be equally split between aging issues and those that serve disabilities. And of course, there's a crossover, but we try to be sure we're talking about areas of interest for both communities. Sometimes, as we're able to, we bring in a number of shorter topics, maybe something related to transportation or just ways to put that together. We monitor a number of database programs in the area that are meant to be comprehensive, so we make sure our partners are getting their agencies on those database listings and keeping them current. That gives you an idea.
Yeah. I also had some information that I wanted to discuss. We talked about the no wrong door approach.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something about the options counseling.
Yes. Thank you so much. That's a great opportunity to show a little bit more in-depth process. So I'll back up a moment and say that from our website, which is wakecrc.org,
mm-hmm.
anyone can contact us with a question or a need for assistance. Sometimes our inquiries come from folks who have some limited ability with they're non-English speaking by birth, and sometimes it can really be complicated when you're dealing with sort of trying to get through our system and the language.
Yes.
But anybody is welcome to contact us with any questions, so you can email right through the website, or our phone number is there, and you can telephone us, and I'm the one you'll get in either case.
Okay.
And so the questions cover all kinds of issues. The first thing I do is chat with the person and see what it is that's needed and begin to think which of our partner agencies might be a good fit. And at that point, that process of streamlining, I typically will go behind the scenes and start gathering information or referring the person on to another one of our agencies so that they don't have to pick up the phone and call again. But you're ultimately getting them off on their own journey to get the information they need, and there's a follow-up to see that they got the information, but we don't really work with them on their planning in that type of approach.
Mm-hmm.
For individuals that are going through a transition in their lives, perhaps it's something, again, it could be post-hospitalization or simply growing older and having aging-related changes, or in today's world, we have a lot of people with disabilities living longer than ever before, so
yes.
Now we need both. We actually need to know good disability resources and good aging resources.
Yes.
So sometimes just gathering information is really not enough to know how to go forward and make a plan. So options counseling is a specialized service that the Wake CRC is a first point of contact in helping refer you. There are some options counselors in our member agencies, and then we also know where they are serving around the Triangle J region. And if somebody is interested, I think the simplest way to describe it would be that it's a person-centered approach that starts with listening to the individual's needs and preferences and what goals they may be trying to work toward, and really hearing that so that you can begin to say what's important to this person, not just for the person. The
yes.
system kind of wants to say, this is what we need you to do for you.
Yes.
But we try to help bring that person's voice up to the center of the discussion, and we identify what resources they may have and where there may be gaps in knowledge or resources. And so one of the first things an options counselor will do is gather all the information, websites, programs, brochures, and go back again. It's a many-meeting process in which you would bring more information. And ultimately, as I mentioned before, kind of in the no-wrong-door approach, which this is part of that,
mm-hmm.
helping this person to kind of coaching them to take this and begin to make their own informed choices. Mm-hmm. The system today of supports and services is definitely moving more in the direction of increased personal choice rather than just, here, we're going to put you here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a quick take to a kind of a shorthand example, but there are really positive things happening and more wanting to happen in this direction, that I have more freedom to do what it is I would like to do while also making sure I can live safely and independently, whatever that might mean, with assistance or without, but understanding how the resources fit together. So options counseling sort of coaches and mm-hmm. supports, but doesn't ever tell people what to do.
Right.
And then there's also a follow-up loop where you're checking back in even a year later to make sure that things are still working successfully or whether something new has come up that might need some more information and support.
That's an awesome part to have options counseling for that. I think a very good resource that you guys offer. I know that you guys have adopted first 4-year action plan. Now, what is this action plan and how is it being implemented in what you guys are doing?
Great question. A lot of people don't realize how much planning, you may guess, how much planning goes on, for instance, at the state level and
yes.
regional levels and the goals that are being set across a wide variety of objectives. And it used to be that the state created a master aging plan and the county created our Wake County Master Organization, which is the GOLD Coalition. That's the master organization for the CRC, and that stands for Growing Older, Living with Dignity. So goals were being set and objectives spelled out by the GOLD Coalition for the Wake County Aging Plan and at the state level and Triangle J at a regional level. All terrific work, but not always synchronized across the same sort of set of broad goals. And the great thing we've done in the last couple of years is everybody's kind of come in line with six major goals, and then according to where you're working, state, regionally, CRC, Wake County, pulling from all of those plans, but customizing it to Wake County. So we work broadly without going through all of those goals, but our key goals have to do with making sure that all citizens of Wake County have the information that they need in order to age in place and live as they might choose. And it takes information and resources to do that. And then understanding how we can enhance quality of life, how we can work with our service partners, as I've mentioned. And so those goals get spread out from the four-year plan, is then set to line up with the Wake County master plan, with the state and regional plans. And then we might identify that, for instance, once a year, we're going to host one of our advisory committee meetings that focuses solely on what are the current best resources for family caregivers. And we might invite in an entire panel to go through different places and aspects of how caregivers are being supported in Wake County. But that would actually come from a stated objective in the plan that we're going to make sure we do that at least annually. And so things like that, and making sure that databases are updated, as I mentioned, adding new partner agencies. So the goals are outlined and then steps are laid out on a four-year basis. So then each year we extract the year's goals and we take just, I won't say baby steps, but incremental steps. And we're really working so that over the four-year period we'll see at least terrific progress, if not, you know, entirely meeting every one of those goals. But if you just wait 4 years to see, did you get there?
Yeah.
You may not. So,
right.
So we're just in the process of really rolling up our sleeves on this year's annual plan. Our fiscal year runs from July to June. Mm-hmm. So we're relatively early yet in this fiscal year 2018.
I am on disability, but I want to work full time. Would your services help with something like that?
Oh, I think quite possibly it could without knowing all the details of your situation and eligibility for different programs.
Right.
But my mind would go right back to one of the partners I mentioned, which is the North Carolina Division of Vocational Rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
And there are strong, strong work programs and ways to assist people that with a disability that would like to be working. And I mentioned that the specific program that we work with in our CRC that's a division of this is the Independent Living Program. So along with wanting to work, there could even be modifications to the home that would be helpful or other aspects of sort of boosting independence. So either way you come, either through independent living or reaching out directly to the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, you're going to get with counselors that can help assess how to determine your eligibility and then take you through that process of how to locate full-time work if that's your goal.
Yeah. With a lot of our audience, of course, they're blind and visually impaired, and a lot of them want to work and want to be a part of society and make their own money and be independent. So resources that are available like this will help them do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned we sometimes have panels or multiple topics at a meeting. And in our September meeting, we were really fortunate to have two fabulous folks with the Division of Services for the Blind. We have Larry Schlesinger.
Yes.
That's hard to say on the microphone.
I know.
And he is an independent living counselor. And Melanie Stein, who is a social worker. They work very differently in terms of, Melanie describes herself as being sort of the queen of the low-tech devices and going in the home and saying, you know, if you just had bigger buttons here. where Larry runs kind of, I forget, I think it's maybe 12 weeks. It's quite, or is it 6 weeks? It's a lengthy class. It's kind of a boot camp on independent living. Mm-hmm. And I think either of those folks, and again, I could connect anyone interested, but they are probably well-versed in additional resources for as you say, if you have folks with visual impairment that are interested in seeking employment that are not now. Also, I'd be happy to connect anybody with the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation as well.
That's awesome. Other organizations, how do they get involved with WAKE CRC?
We are always looking for not only new partners, but as I mentioned, new services, new programs that we need to be aware of. So the whole sort of network behind this movement to No Wrong Door and what the CRC is fostering has to do with community collaborations. And so you'll find that Wake County is probably second to none in terms of really people being very open to learning about one another, partnering where appropriate. And so a lot of us serve on boards in the community. So we might be a member of the CRC, but we might be on another board where there are 10 other agencies that are, I'm making that up, but 10 other agencies that are not at the moment partners, or some might be private providers, some might be nonprofits. So you have the opportunity in those settings. Usually people do updates around the table, so you have that opportunity to talk about the CRC and what mm-hmm. we're doing. So that's a great example, and you know, we might be serving on something that's trying to set up a new program for an area. I can think of a couple of examples. So again, you might walk in the room and have a whole group of folks that are not familiar with the work that we do, and out of that find that there's some agencies that would be a great fit to become partners. Also, we step back strategically according to our work plan and say, we need agencies that do X, Y, or Z and actively go out and try to recruit them to come join us. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way. And then folks that want to get involved, we just encourage them to come to a meeting, see what we do. And if they get interested, then we give them the chance to make a presentation to us on what they do and sign a little bit of paperwork, always paperwork. And then we do an extensive website page for them on our website, and people can read about the agency on our site and then directly click through to their websites right from ours.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing. With WAKE CRC, your mission and everything that you're doing, how successful do you think you are being with the community?
Well, I think that we're gaining ground. I do. That's a great question, because it's a work in progress.
Yes.
It's ongoing. It's never going to be finished because of all that I've mentioned.
Yes.
But I think we've come a long way in at least gaining the partners. You can see what a network we have that's a very solid base of partner agencies that provide such a range of services, and beginning to connect now with, say, Wake County government and the city of Raleigh. We've gotten very interested in affordable housing, and we're putting together a panel for our next meeting. So we're gaining some new liaison with a number of the housing developers and folks in the city. So the more we get to know key players and draw attention to the work that we're doing, that is great success. Equally successful is every time we get an inquiry and we're able to move that person one step closer to what it is that they need in order to have the choice that they want and should be able to make, if only they knew how to do that.
Right. Before I let you go, give me your website and information for anybody who would need your services.
I will do that. WakeCRC.org. They can also call me at 919-713-1530.
Martha Grove Hipskin, the coordinator of Wake County Community Resource Connections for Aging and Disabilities, or as we call it, Wake CRC. Anything else you'd like to say about Wake CRC before we let you go?
I think we've really covered the ground. I just want to say thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to tell the community what we're all about.
Well, we appreciate you and what you guys are doing for the community. Thank you so much for being a part of Community Connections.
It's now time to spotlight the Volunteer of the Month. And our Volunteers of the Month, not volunteer, but Volunteers of the Month, happen to be a great duo for our Thursday noon show. We have Mary Holroyd and Bruce Rubich. How are you guys doing?
We're fine.
We're fine, thank you.
Well, I wanted to have you guys both on at the same time, because you can't see one without the other. If I see Bruce by himself, I'm looking for Mary.
Mary. And if I see Mary by herself, I need to see Bruce. You guys are a tag team, so it just seemed fitting to have you both here as the Volunteers of the Month.
Thank you.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about yourselves, Bruce.
I've been reading for 23 and a half years, but the last 15, I think.
16.
16 years have been the best years.
Whoa.
Because I've been reading with Mary.
So sweet.
Oh, and they've been my best 16 years, too.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, we're a team.
Yes, you guys got a great chemistry.
We don't follow all the rules. We were trained way back in the old days when you could not get away with anything, but pretty close.
Mm-hmm. And you test that out a lot, don't you, Bruce, on air?
I like to read the advice column because I always have some reaction to the advice columnist's advice to the people who've written in.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes she's just plain wrong.
Ooh.
and you don't hesitate to tell her.
Yes.
Our lead into the program always says that we read articles exactly as printed, unless they're egregious grammatical errors. Which we correct, because we don't think they're really teaching the King's English in schools of journalism or radio and TV at the universities anymore. Well, I'm getting older, so I'm getting crankier.
So, Mary, how do you deal with him every week?
No problem. We've just kind of gotten in the groove, and we know how each other reacts. We do fine.
She's become tolerant over the years. At first she thought she was supposed to be tolerant, and then she just fell into the habit.
Yeah, I'm kind of, we both mellowed.
Yes. Okay, so Bruce, you've been here for 23 years. How did you become a volunteer?
I have to credit my wife.
Okay.
I had a classmate who recorded books for the blind. Way up in New Jersey, up north. And my wife saw a little squib in the News and Observer that said the Triangle Radio Service was looking for readers, volunteer readers. And she cut it out and said to me, you should think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I came over, and they gave me 20 words to pronounce, and apparently I pronounced them okay. Most of them were single syllable. No. And most of them had many more than four letters. And I passed the test, so yes. I started. I got a regular program on Thursday noon,
George,
with Peter.
Peter. Oh, yeah, Peter. Yeah.
And I start out with him. So that's who trained me.
Okay.
To be outrageous.
Oh, okay.
And make any kind of comments I wanted.
Okay. And Mary, what about you when you came 16 years ago?
I was actually at the time president of the Raleigh Host Lions Club, and I had Linda Orant, who was the director then, came to speak to the club, and she mentioned that was a, you know, they needed volunteers, and I enjoyed reading the paper every morning so much, and I thought, gee, you know, I can't imagine not being able to read the paper, so I started volunteering then, and 16 years later, I'm still here.
Oh, well, you know what? We are so glad to have both of you guys here. You are a bright part to our team here, especially for the noon show on Thursday. Thank you guys for being on Community Connections and being our Volunteers of the Month. What you guys may not know about Bruce is he is our resident poet. So before we say goodbye, I'm going to let him leave us with a piece of poetry. Go ahead, Bruce.
I wrote this little ditty for my partner, Mary, many, many years ago.
Yes. Wow.
And the poem went like this. Baltic beauty, nobody's fool. Bold as brass, said nuns at school. Now she charms with dulcet tones her reading buddy to his bones.
Yay. Love it.
It took me a little time to remember.
That's such an honor to have a poem about you.
It's the only one I've ever had.
Wow. Thank you guys so much, and I appreciate you being here.
Thanks for asking.
The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org.
Community Connections is underwritten by RBR Physical Therapy.
Located at 1300 Corporation Parkway, Suite B, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Call 919-917-7729 for an appointment.
For more information, go to www.rbrpt.com.
Limp in
and leap out.
You've been listening to Community Connections. I'm Shadate Hargett-Hill. See you next time on the radio.